Hi, everybody. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. As always, thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Sherpa short titled The Trend Is Your Friend, co-hosted by Chris Zeiker and myself. We pick a couple of domain topics and dig into them for a bit. Today, we talk about a few interesting recent articles in the domain space, if we've seen any transformative AI applications yet, and how to properly value domains in light of various macro and micro trends. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and then our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button and all that good stuff where you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. So definitely check all that out. And props to our sponsor, dan.com, the number one place in the world to buy and sell your domains with a special platform made for domain investors. And shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world, further evidenced by winning the number one domain broker in the world awarded by escrow.com for the sixth year in a row. Led by Andrew Rosner, Media Options specializes in domain acquisition, sales, and appraisals. Find out more at mediaoptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain names and domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. All right, with that, live from just outside of Asheville, North Carolina, welcome to Domain Sherpa. Check it out right now, where all roads lead to domains. So let's go. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. Jayon, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Sherpa short featuring my boy Chris Zeiker talking about some hot topics and current events in the domain space. These are some short-form content things that we do here on Domain Sherpa to keep it moving, especially in the summertime when we're trying to keep it quick for everybody as they're in the middle of doing all the other stuff that they're doing, family vacations and all that other good stuff. So with that, let me go ahead and introduce my co-host. I got my boy Chris Zeiker, aka Zeiker's Island, aka World War Z, aka the Brand Whisperer, aka Zeik Tyson, here on the show doing what he's doing. For those of you who don't know, I mean, arguably a top, I'd say top two domain broker in the space, only you and Drew kind of duking it out at number one. Lead broker for Media Options does so much of the heavy lifting and is really the man, talks to more decision makers, domain owners, probably than anybody on a weekly basis, CMOs, CEOs, all that good stuff. Chief strategy officers, really some of the really, really big deals in their various, respective lanes. And, yeah, man, that guy. And as Drew, you know, correctly gave you credit when he accepted his award for the sixth year in a row, you know, at NamesCon, said he couldn't do it without you and without the team. Really, it's more about you than the team when it comes to that kind of stuff, considering how much you do. Anyway, so not to make this a big old celebration of Chris, but I am, obviously extremely excited to have you on the show as usual and appreciative of everything you do. So what's going on, man? How you living?
Well, hey, I mean, back to that. Listen, it's all of us, man. You know, I mean, we all come in for the kill. It's like we all have different strengths, you know, which is nice. That's why we get the tough ones done.
Yeah, man.
I think you hit it. It's like summer is a difficult time for domain sales, right? Volume of domain sales. A lot of people are on vacation. I did a post just the other day. It was like, listen, this is like July, really like, yeah, July, August, it gets slow. And it gets slow just because decisions aren't made. People are off. You know, they've already have their decisions in. They come back in September and they have the strategy meetings, and they come back out of the strategy meetings and make decisions. And that's why typically Q1 is the best quarter for us. And then Q4 is the second best. And then, you know, kind of mix and mash between the next two quarters.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I agreed. And I think it's interesting. You see a lot of people with the same sentiment. I mean, talk about traveling. I mean, Drew is traveling this week. He's traveling off and on almost for the whole summer. I'm here in the beautiful mountains. I think the Blue Ridge Mountains officially outside of Asheville, North Carolina, and Lake Lure. So we're here for a couple of days, you know, cabin life. And, you know, the beautiful thing about domains is that we can do it anywhere. So, I mean, at least the show doesn't stop. But I, you know, it is an interesting time of year where we do see sick, you know, there is, the space is cyclical. You know, Q1.
Well, let me preface that though. I'm talking like six-figure, seven-figure deals, right?
Yeah.
Smaller deals, listen, they're happening all the time. You know, people are drinking beers. They're on the campfire, right? In North Carolina, like, I got this business idea. It's like, okay, great. Is the domain available? Oh, it's $3,000, right? They whip their credit card out. They buy it. They wake up the next morning. They're like, honey, what'd you do? My credit card, you know, is maxed out. I try to get gas. It's like, oh man, I bought that domain name. Can I return it? Nope.
Yeah. No, I mean, without a doubt. And we do see some big deals that will take place. I mean, we had a big, big deal that closed last year around this time. I think that's when we closed SEO.com. You know, we've got a bunch that are currently sort of in the works. Definitely a bunch that are almost at that finish line point, you know, which I think, like you said, as people kind of shake off, like you definitely have certain decision makers bit off the grid. Hey, we'll get to that, you know, in, you know, in a month when we're all sort of back at the table. Q1 and this year, Q1 into Q2 were so strong. You know, it's been a great year for us so far. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the rest of the year brings. You know, also important is, you know, not only do you have sort of this lifestyle, you know, these lifestyle impact, if you will, on the domain space, but, you know, obviously all of the big broader macro variables that are going to play a role. You know, we're seeing crypto kind of continue to do this sort of sideways crawl downward, you know, which is, you know, largely talking about Bitcoin and the sort of the main coins. But, you know, you see Bitcoin today is in that like 57 range, you know, it had been trending in that, you know, the mid 60s. And then it's just, again, it's kind of like doing this sideways thing, but we're seeing it sideways tapering sort of downward and, you know, interesting forces at play at, you know, and we're not going to turn this into a big crypto conversation, but, you know, when you look at now, you've got countries that are buying and selling big amounts of Bitcoin. The big thing that led to, you know, the sell-off this past week, you know, Germany sold a bunch of Bitcoin, you know, and then it seemed like they bought a bunch back, you know, and people were saying, well, did they actually buy it or were they sell orders that were unfulfilled? And, you know, you have some Mt. Gox activity and, you know, things like that where some of those, you know, funds are being sort of, you know, finally distributed and, you know, and you know, liquidated and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's interesting. So it's always this balance of stuff, you know, and what I think is pretty cool with us, and you obviously have that insight into, you know, the way these big deals, because they can take months, you know, and then they'll marinate. And then all of a sudden, they're the number one priority for everybody involved and they have to get done. And, you know, getting the tough ones done is not easy, you know, and I do think that, you know, we're pretty well situated as a pretty nimble yet qualified and capable team to be able to get those kinds of deals done, which is why we consistently are the folks that are able to get deals done, find domains people can't find, sell domains people can't sell. You know, and obviously, you know, that's, you know, evidenced in the awards and all that good stuff and on the balance sheet. Shout out to Tom, the accountant, by the way. I've been dealing with Tom a little bit over the last couple of days. We've been closing out the quarter. And, so I just want to give Tom a big old shout out.
We love you, Tom.
Yeah. We love you, Tom. He's like, whatever. He's Tom's so funny, man. He's just like, whatever. You get out of my face. He's just all numbers all the time. And there's just no BS with him, which is the way you got to be if you're going to be a good accountant. So yeah, man. So, hey, so definitely some things happening. I mean, you and I have been kind of passing back and forth a couple of articles over the last few days is, you know, things that we find interesting. Anything you want to dive into specifically, or do you want me to kind of pick out of the pile?
Well, I mean, I would say trends, right? I mean, we hit trends first, and then I think you've got some good articles there about like, what is a domain name and why do people like domainers? Why do we just like gush over a great domain name? You know, when we see it driving our car down the highway, like, oh, it's a great domain, or, you know, that guy's an idiot. Like, you can't even freaking, you know, it like blends in. But, you know, there was an article on Zero Hedge. I couldn't click on it because I don't pay for it, but what he was saying, the headline tells it all, right? I mean, that's usually the thing. He said, you know, AI has not made any like significant impact yet.
And this was an interesting article, you know, and to your point, right? So, and I think this is one of those things that I hope would, you know, kind of spark a little discussion, you know, hit us with comments and feedback on social or on the site. But, you know, it's this idea of like much to do about nothing so far, right? Because it's like when you look at what you know, AI has the potential to transform the world and to transform and to touch and impact and hopefully improve every industry that it touches.
Let me read the headline. It says, Golden's head of research crucifies the AI bubble. Not one transformative application has been found, right? So the key word there is transformative, right?
Yeah.
At efficiency, right? Because there's been efficiencies there with AI bots and, you know, customer service bots. And, you know, I would say, let's say the legal field, right? I mean, they take all this case law and they kind of, you can search it. But is that really AI? Or is that just a database that's now more efficient and searchable, right?
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's interesting to me. When I look at AI and you think about what, you know, really it is, the idea of being able to take, you know, quantum level size amounts of data, right? And then be able to break it down into usable action, right? Usable assistance from, you know, effectively a robot, a computer, or whatever, a platform, a program, an app, in order to make things, you know, more effective, more efficient, cheaper, faster, better, right? In our day-to-day, have we seen that yet? In the domain space, you know, shout out. So, you know, you've got agent.ai, right, which is Dharmesh, and he recently, you know, they released their appraisal tool. And then Squad Help or Adam has their appraisal tool that they recently released. And it's interesting. I haven't spoken to the folks at Estabot. It's probably, you know, worth having a conversation with them too, or, you know, maybe even getting them on the show at some point, you know, to see.
That'd be neat, yeah.
Yeah, well, what are they doing? Are they, you know, I mean, those are very smart guys who, you know, and look, domain appraisal tools, automated appraisal tools are, you know, they're challenging. Domains are very difficult to value properly in the market. And, you know, and there's only so much data that's available. I mean, these are all the things we talk about all the time as to why we say, take the Estabot values with a grain of salt. And, you know, people are comparing now some of these different appraisal tools for the domains to see which ones seem to be more accurate. And then there's interesting questions around that, like what data sources are they using in order to value the domains? I mean, there's not all domain sales are reported. We would tell you, it's a tip of the iceberg kind of thing with us. And I would think with a lot of the big sellers of domains that, you know, they're just not public. It's not public information. So where are they pulling their data from in order to be able to do this kind of thing? And, you know, we've been tinkering with those a little bit. They seem pretty cool. They seem like they could be, you know, advances in the space, which could be helpful. You know, we get contacted on almost a daily basis with somebody saying, you know, their first question is, you know, we ask them, well, what do you want for your domain? Well, you tell me, what's it worth, right? And it's like, well, it's worth what the market is willing to pay for it based on the time frame that you were trying to sell it during, you know? But I think that's interesting when you think about, okay, what has been done that's transformative from an AI perspective that is really moving the needle. And, you know, we talk about this internally all the time, and Drew talks about it on the show, is, you know, what's the impact of AI on domain names and on the internet in general? And have we seen anything so far that's leading us to believe that domains should be less valuable, or that this is going, or more valuable based on AI? And, you know, and then where does that put .ai versus .com and stuff?
Well, I mean, you're right. I wasn't trying to get an AI discussion because I really haven't looked at it too much other than how it's impacted my life. And really, you know, there's SEO articles, it has made life more efficient, right? Easier. But more from what you're saying, selling a domain name, right? So, I mean, I talk about my five, the three, phases of a trend. So it's positioning to capture share, right? Category, domain name, sell. Then it's build out, share positions take shape, and then it matures and the brands go beyond that category. So a lot of the offers come in, the highest offers come in at the very beginning of a trend. You know, look at Meta, right? Meta, I mean, do you even hear Meta anymore? Metaverse anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've read an article on the Metaverse, right? And yet people have these offers coming in. They're like, I'm going to hold out for six figures. It's like, you know, if they would have taken them when they had the chance, that first initial rush as people were trying to figure out what's going to happen. And then, you know, it settles down. Someone takes the lead share. And so, you know, it's important to know this because it comes down to what is your highest offer. Like, could you know your highest offer? It smacked you across the head. Like, would you know, like, hey, listen, I hear you, but this is the highest offer you're going to receive, right? This is an asset. And an asset, you know, I mean, your objective is to sell it, to take that risk. What is the risk of you waiting 3 to 5 years? You know, Elliot had an article that you had brought up, and that was, you know, a startup that he was, that had was, you know, called one of his domain names and they went out of business, right? What is the risk of that happening?
Yeah.
You know, what is, you know, if you have one or two buyers for your domain, it's very specific and niche and they come in, you know, what, that's an interesting algorithm. I've actually thought about it. Like, how would you, you know, what kind of percentage would you put to that to say, hey, the risk of me waiting longer to get that extra 20%, I think the value's there, or 30% is this, but the downside is this, right? Is that I pass on this.
Yeah, no, and I think, look, there's a couple of really good points or things to talk about in there. And, you know, first of all, shout out to Elliot Silver, domaininvesting.com. And I think this kind of does flow around what we're talking about, which, you know, is kind of, you say it all the time, the trend is your friend, right? Until it is.
It is the trend your friend, yeah.
right.
Is the trend your friend now? I mean, a lot of people, metaverse, it ain't your friend, baby, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's because your friend left the building and they're no longer.
Yeah, your friend's dead.
Is the trend your friend? We'll come up with a show title around that, because I think that's exactly what we're talking about, both with, you know, some of the cyclicality, if that's the actual word, around and the different variables that impact the value of domains and when is the right time to sell based on, you know, when are you actually going to get the best possible offer on your domain. And I know that is a challenge that we deal with all the time with sellers that we represent, because it's like, you know, we get offers for their domains. And some folks, you know, it's, you know, they get it and they're reasonable about it. Other folks, you know, kind of holding on a little bit. Some of it's emotional. You know, I think that's one of the interesting things that Drew does. So, you know, we've got the Rosner equation, and Drew is one of the, you know, the top, you know, folks in the world, right? If not number one, as far as valuing a domain name, and has this whole formula, and he's very analytical about it, right? I mean, he tries to take the emotion out of that process, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's dollars and cents, and, you know, there might be emotion involved in either holding or buying, but it's also trying to figure out when that timing is right on either of those sides. And like, to your point, you know, when you have these trends, these things that are happening, these movements, you know, exuberance, we see it in crypto, we saw it in NFTs. Yeah, there was a moment where, you know, it definitely hit peak exuberance, where the peak value was there to be realized. And if you didn't realize it at that point, you will never see an offer like that again, because it, even if things come back, we talk about this a lot with Web3 and NFTs and stuff. As you know, Web3 will continue to evolve and exist and really and do things in really cool ways. You know, there's folks like, look at what Shane and the Fred and the team is doing at D3. They're doing some really neat stuff, but it's different than what folks were doing 6 months ago, a year ago, around domains, around Web3, around NFTs, all that kind of stuff. So it's like, you didn't take advantage of that opportunity when things were kind of at the peak of the bubble. And when things come back around, where your domain or whatever it is that's your thing, you know, might be out on the outside looking in this time around, because it doesn't mean it's the same thing that's going to come back. That's not cyclical. That's literally a bubble, or, you know, that is a one-time, you know, ramp up and then not to be seen again. So, you know, so I think that's really an interesting thing. And I think that's one of the things too, when you talk about, just again, valuation of domains, why it's also, when you look at the way that Drew does what he does as far as valuing domains, you know, looking at search volume and, you know, sort of the current activity around domains, around a particular domain or a term or whatever it is, an industry, a particular buyer. And this is where Elliot's article is really interesting, because it talks about, like, you've got a startup, right? Because there's sort of this objective value that then takes into account based on search volume and just what the term is, right? Regardless of buyer, just says this term, this one word or whatever it is, has value based on its popularity, you know, and you know, again, search volume is somewhat of an indication of that. You know, how many extensions it's registered in, stuff like that. And but then you're looking at more of a subjective value based on who is your potential buyer, right? And you go into all this when you talk about your buyer types. So when you've got folks that, you know, you've got a particular target, and you, I won't say it's like a one buyer domain for a particular brand or something, but yeah, what happens when that unicorn or that potential unicorn then doesn't make it, right? Now what? Now you're looking at what are your B, C, and D options. And
right. Now you're waiting for someone to stumble upon and say, wow, I love that brand. Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I thought that was cool. I obviously am a big fan of a lot of the stuff that Elliot talks about, and it's all very, you know, relevant, poignant, and you know, and he's a smart dude. So I thought that was an interesting article really hit exactly what we're just, you know, talking about. So,
yeah, and my frame for domain valuation is the same thing, right? So it's raw equity, the Rosner equation, which probably every one of these estimators use, right?
Yeah, I mean,
there's only so many ways you can slice the data, right? So Drew pioneered that raw equity. The next pillar is brand equities. How many brands are out there that call themselves that, right? Because your domain name is your brand equity, right? It's a function of the life built in, you know, that you breathe into that, and, you know, customers reward simplicity. So it's brand equity, and then it's perceived equity. So the perceived equity is like, what does the founder perceive that they can do with that based on the pain that they've had on a bad domain and losing out on domain, right? And knowing what they're building and then the different buyer types as far as like a viable or scalable startup that's raising money and needs to have a quick ramp up so that they can sell to the next guy, right? The hot potato.
Yeah, and so, I love that the comment that you made. I don't know that I've ever heard that before. And maybe I've seen it in one of your books, but customers reward simplicity. So that I think is an awesome, you know, awesome line. And so talk a little bit about that. I mean, where's that from? And
you know, probably one of Drew's negotiations. I don't know.
That's awesome.
I tell you what, like we recorded them. I mean, he is probably one of the best negotiators out there just because he believes in domain names.
Yeah.
And I mean, he goes through that, the simplicity, right? The logical aspect of it, that in essence, you're going to, you know, that simplicity, they can find you, it's equals trust, right? All these elements of brand equity.
Yeah. No, and I'm 100% right. So,
you know, going back to those, domain, estimation tools, valuation tools, it's important to remember too, there's three conversations in a negotiation, right? There's what you want to pay, what the buyer wants to pay. I say this on all my, when I talk to people, I'm like, listen, I get it. Listen, there's three conversations. What you want to pay. Everyone wants to go in and pay like pennies in the dollar, right? Who doesn't? Like who wants, like everyone loves a good deal. Then there's what's the value to your company, right? And that's like simplicity, conversion, the seven dimensions, right? So you can download my book, domainnamebrokersecrets.com, download it, buy it on Amazon, $12, leave me a 5-star review. But it's an element of these seven dimensions: global positioning, industry positioning, branding, marketing, SEO, email security, and scaling, right? So that's the logical case, right? Logical, and you know, and you could say emotional too. And then there is the what do they want to sell it for? And so you get a good deal if the value is higher than the price they're selling it for. And in many cases, it is. It's just getting them to see that, right?
Yeah. The recognition of value is key, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. So my conversations are, hey, let's just talk about value. Like, how are you looking at this? You know, look at the seven dimensions. I try to pick a dimension that would be the most fitting for them. You know, scaling is a big dimension, you know, as most brands come in their niche and they have to scale. And so they have to shed their domain name because their domain name is not their brand. And so they have to shed that.
Yeah, no. And, you know, it's interesting too, because, you know, to continue talking about kind of mentioning Elliot, another article that he had recently where very much to what you're saying, quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten, right? That's the quote. That's from Gucci, like Aldo Gucci of, you know, the Gucci, right? And because it really is about recognizing the value across the seven dimensions and the other thing, you know, I mean, it's funny to be able to, you know, because at some point you have to be able to articulate these in ways that make sense. And I think you've done a fantastic job with what you've done, you know, with your book and how we talk about it and how you try to express this to often, you know, you're talking to founders and executives that, you know, for them, it's like you said, it can be emotional. You know, it's analytical to a certain extent, but you know, they sometimes don't even recognize, like, the email security is a piece that we always talk about, because, you know, if you don't own your you know, you have a, if your brand is a one word, it's just a single generic dictionary word, and you don't own the .com, well, then somebody's getting emails that are intended for you. And, you know, and how many important, you know, customers, or, you know, even more, you know, important potentially is, you know, is the risk that, you know, your systems are going to be exposed because somebody's sending an email from the .com or the email to the .com and sensitive information and all that kind of access, all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, so it is kind of like, so to that point and the point that Elliot was making, you know, that businesses will sometimes spend more money, you know, to acquire the perfect domain. But really it's just, you know, getting their head around the idea of really what the value of the name is and that it's worth what the price of the domain is. I mean, I think domains are still largely undervalued in a lot of ways. And you know, it all kind of ties back to really what is the value. And sometimes it's stuff that you're not even putting into your
account. Well, I mean, and one question I ask is, listen, if you own this domain name, would you sell it for that price that you're offering me? It's like, no, I'm like, exactly. You wouldn't sell it for that. You would be priceless, right? So let's like, that's a good way to break the value down.
Yeah.
It's like, if you have this, would you sell this to me for $100,000? You know, no, because it's our brand. Well, exactly. Like, it's your brand. Like, right. So value it correctly. Look at this, you know, take the time to, you know, move past just what I want to pay, which is a gut feel. Lately I've been breaking down another frame, a new frame, and that's the five stages of awareness. So I just started this new frame. That, like, all these, it's like the matrix, right? It's like the buyer types, you look at the value, right? So just ways that I can quickly see where somebody's at and their principles behind what they value, right? So there's principles behind the story that they're telling themselves. And you need to understand those principles in order to help them to see that value. And so Can I go over that real quick?
Yeah, dude, absolutely. I just blurred my background. I think I got some people walking around inside the cabin. Although I don't know if I love this background thing, but don't let that be a distraction. But yeah, go ahead, man.
So the five stages of awareness. The first stage is any domain name will do. So it's like, we don't really care. You know, it's, you know, it's not, you know, domain doesn't matter. We don't really mind, right? That would be, they're kind of associated with the five different buyer types as well. So the first buyer type is hobbyist. The next stage is my domain name is not my brand. So we literally hear this. Hey, my domain name is not my brand. We're not worried, right? It's like, my brand is this. And it's like, no, my thesis is that your domain name is your brand equity. You ask your customers, hey, who do they think you are? They'll say, hey, you're, you know, close.io was the best example. Like, that and Carrot, on Carrot, right? So on Carrot, they were at this trade show and everyone's like, oh, we love on Carrot. And he's like, man, our brand is Carrot, you know? And so I think it was like half the customers said we'd love OnCarrot because that was their domain name.
Mm.
So your domain name is your brand, but that's the kind of the stage. Whereas they realize that they need a domain name. It's important, but hey, that's not our brand. We're not worried. They'll find us. Next stage is I will pay for the confusion. Hey, it's okay. We're making money today. We'll pay for it. Like, if we're profitable, we put in a buck, we get $1.20 back. That's okay. Now, key here is that's today, right? Algorithms change, things change, and you know, how long is that going to last, right? I mean, when it flips, when someone gets your brand in a different trademark class, okay, different trademark class, they then own the global positioning. They're going to drag you out. And how many brands do you want out there with that same brand?
Yeah, I feel like that, like, I'm willing to pay for the confusion. To me, it just seems so short-sighted. Like, I think that's tough. That's got to be a tough position, even if you're trying to raise funds or, you know, because you're saying, hey, we know that's a gap and a problem, you know, without a plan to, because that's the other thing we talk about as well, is like when people are trying to select sort of a sub brand or some prior, they know they can't afford the one word.com, right? And they're saying, all right, we're going to start with a try this or this app,
right,
or
right.
It might be, right? You know, but, you know, it's a question of like, is there thought going into, at some point, we're going to make a play for the one that we want, you know? And we talk to clients about this sometimes too, because it's like trying to make sure that if you can't afford the one you want, will you be able to get it? You know, what's your sort of plan to ultimately get it? And if it's owned by someone where you're never going to get it, then it's like, then you can, you know, try this and, you know, this and you know.
Well, you're going to be paying for, I mean, you just have to get your head around, you'll be paying for confusion. So, but if you can find out, well, hey, I got it, but what do you pay? What does it cost your confusion today? And okay, 3 years, now you own your domain, right? And so there's value there, then you own it forever, right? So if you amortize that out, it's like, the problem with the try, the my, the get, and is that those are used for marketing campaigns for other companies. And so like the consumer just naturally says, well, hey, your try, your get, your join, your whatever. So your main domain must be this, that maybe that's a marketing campaign.
Yeah.
They end up going to another company.
Yeah, like I said, so it's a subdomain.
Yeah. So that's step three. The next phase. And so we're getting closer to action. Okay. So as they go down this, the magic happens at five. Okay. The fourth stage is, hey, I know I need it, but I just don't believe I can do it. So they know they need it, but they're just not, maybe it's a startup. Maybe they're not even sure, like this startup, maybe Elliot's example might be a good one, right? Startup, you know, obviously went under. Maybe they just really didn't believe what they didn't hit the traction yet. So they didn't really believe in their brand yet. They didn't really believe this concept would work. They didn't really believe that they could scale to a position that produced, you know, strong ROI, right? Strong profits. Mm-hmm. So they know it's kind of what I haven't heard this one directly. Hey, I know I need it, but we're just not in a position right now. I know I need it, but, you know, timing's not right now. In essence, it's like, hey, I know I need it, but I'm not there. Okay. And so that's where I say there's worldview, self-view, and roadmap. Okay. So worldview is the logical case for a domain name, right? My worldview is that, I believe domain names are, critical to, or the biggest risk and opportunity to scaling your brand. Okay. That's my thesis. And once I, and then, and sometimes, you know, these worldviews, hey, I don't really need it. I'm, you know, these, you could say these stages are worldviews. Then once they get that, they have to have their self view. The self view is that they believe that they can do it as that founder. They believe they can do it as that team. They believe they can do it as that company, right? A bigger company, the self view is not as important. As you go to startups, it's more important. That's where testimonials, that's where stories come in handy, right? So you're telling them, hey, here's some other founders that did this. Here's what they said they did, right? Hey, talk to your investors. But that self-view is very important. Like they know they need to believe it. A lot of times the best crusher of self-view is their investors.
Yeah.
They're like, are you kidding me? You don't have it? Like, go buy it.
Yeah.
Because this is going to help me, you know, pass the hot potato on to the next investor, right? And make our return.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's part of what I was just talking about, which is it's hard to raise funds if, you know, you don't have a real long-term roadmap as to how you're going to establish your brand and who you are. You know, we use certain examples all the time on the show. The Jason Calcanis Calm.com one is one we've mentioned a lot, which is that, you know, he even said that he found that they were more investable because they had the .com domain, which also has value in and to itself, right? So it's like, it's probably... Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times it's the only asset companies actually own, especially if they're online businesses, right? So,
yeah, good point. Good point.
Yep. So,
okay, number five. This is it. Then I'll get off the train here.
Yeah, no, it's great.
I want it, and we'll pay for it because the ROI of the ROI to our ability to scale, right? So I want it. I'm taking it down. How do I make this happen? Lease deal, cash deal. What is the roadmap for me to make this happen? And as I'm going through this, like I'm also looking at the principles behind this. Okay. So these principles are important because they help you to understand the mentality of what's keeping someone back from seeing that and buying your domain name. Okay. Assuming that it's priced correctly, assuming that it's the right buyer type, right? It's the perfect buyer, right? What's keeping them from buying this? The first principle ties to the first stage, and that's, you know, not a serious business. Short term, it's a rug pull, right? You can see the rug pulls in crypto, right?
Yeah.
You're like, dude, it's a rug pull, man. Like, look at the, you know, look how they're branded. Look at the, you know, they're not serious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next stage is, you know, kind of the principle behind stage two is, you know, frugal is all that matters. Don't really believe it'll work, right? It's really frugality. Like, I'm just pinching every penny. I'm, you know, and they value frugality. And so you have to say, hey, this is about frugality. This is about protecting your investment. This is about giving it, you know, having everything you've done, the blood, the sweat, and tears work for you, right? You can see that in Y Combinator companies, right? You can see these companies that, hey, it, you know, it's all about cutting costs, all about, you know, doing things the cheapest way possible, right? And so you got to have them say that this is one area you don't want to be cheap, right? Similar to like, would you hire a subpar developer to develop your product?
Yeah. That's
you know, probably is going to be an impact, right? I mean, it might miss a few lines of code.
Yeah. You know, what we say, you know, it's, you know, penny wise, pound foolish, right? It's like, if you're not willing to invest in the things that actually matter in order to do what it is you're going to do to realize your vision and, you know, create your business and get those products or services to your customers and achieve that success, it's like, that doesn't happen. It's not easy, right? It requires hard work and it requires investment.
Okay, so stage three is, you know, once again, is I'll pay for confusion. The principle behind that one is, I feel like I'm getting ripped off. Just give it to me, right? So, I mean, you literally hear people come back and they say, you know, you've been squatting on that for 20 years. They're not going to use it. They haven't done anything with it, right? So it's like this feeling of, you need to give that to me, right? They feel like they're getting ripped off because they don't understand the value of domain names. They have no idea. They're coming in. They're saying, well, hey, you know, it's $10. Why are you charging, you know, seven figures? You're like, well, this domain has 10 six-figure offers on it. You know, like, you're not even in the right galaxy. So it's like an understanding of the value of domains, the marketplace for domain names. And if you just come back and you just lower the price, you're not like, you have to, that principle has to change in order for them to buy a domain name, right?
Yeah.
I
think mindset and understanding the value of domains and the impact is critical. And, you know, Drew even mentioned this. So when Drew was on the Tim Ferriss podcast at the end of last year, you know, he talked about how, you know, a lot of times the folks who realize the value of domains are second time, third time founders, right? Founders who've been through the process, you know, either had success or at least had gone through it and recognized. And then those were some of the types that were the most sort of dialed in early with the forming and the founding of their new company, their new venture, to know that one of the most critical things to do early is to go secure the best possible domain name for your brand. And, you know, I think that's also very, very telling. That's what's so crazy is a lot of this stuff sounds so obvious. We talk about the same topics, the same things.
It's like, boring.
it's like, how many different ways can we slice the same piece of meat? But it really is, you know, but it takes a while to get through to people. And you also mentioned the thing about lease deals and other things. Like, once companies recognize, like, hey, look, we got to get this, whatever it's going to take, let's get creative. Let's figure out what works. Let's figure out what we can afford and how we can afford it. You know, and then, you know, I think that's also something that, you know, that is, it's more prevalent now than ever, which is, you know, the ability to be able to do those kind of creative deals and acquiring a domain. And we do all sorts of different cool stuff. And like, we've got so many now, like, lease deals that are, you know, currently every month, you know, they're just making their payments, they're building their business. Some of these are going to be some of the bigger brands you're going to hear about, and some might not make it, but at least the ones that didn't really did what they needed to at least try. And those that will, this will be part of the reason that they're successful. So it's pretty cool to see it up close and personal. So
yeah, and I think, you know, the key with these five stages is that they're not ready to buy yet, right? They have to go through these stages to buy. If they're still sitting here saying, hey, you're ripping me off for this thing, right? They're not willing to buy. And so you're not in a negotiation, right?
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're converting their mindset. You have to convert their mindset. And a lot of times, you know, their mindset is converted by other founders. It's converted by their investors, right? That say, hey, let me tell you this, you know, here's what we found over here in this company. And here's why you need this.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
I'll cruise along here, GT. Next one is stage four is I'm not quite sure it'll work, or they're looking for a quick exit. So remember, it's the awareness was, I don't need it. I know I need it, but I don't believe I can do it. The principle is like, hey, I'm not sure it's going to work, or, you know, listen, we're just looking for a quick exit. A lot of bio companies, I mean, I've talked to billionaires, right? Like, crazy exits, smart people. They're like, Chris, listen, like, we're just going to get bought up, you know? I mean, if you don't understand, it's going to help you get a better price because you have a brand, you have something behind it, right? It's this essence of brand equity. And so I guarantee you're going to get, you know, your money back, if not more, because you like, they're going to look at you like, wow, that's an amazing brand. But looking for a quick exit, right? They're just looking to pass it on. Founders looking to quickly raise money and, you know, get out, right? Take their exit, get out, sell it to some other big company. And so they're not as, you know, they haven't quite got to that fifth stage. Stage five is, I'm building a category killer. Like they're like, we're taking over. And those, I mean, those are the companies you want to invest in. It'd be good to have Drew here for that one, right? It's like, those are the companies you want to invest in, right? Because they get it. They're like, listen, we are going to make this happen, even if this is going to happen. And so that's the five stages, the five principles, still kind of going down this train to develop this frame out. But I think the essence is there for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, and because we see it on a day-to-day basis. So, and, you know, so no, man, I think all that stuff, and it does always kind of come back then around, I guess, you know, for, you know, this idea of the trend is your friend at different levels, right? We're talking macro trends that impact the value of domains. There are, call them micro trends within each organization that sort of dictate where they are in their process and where they are in their journey. And, you know, and ultimately that will drive them to either appreciate or not appreciate the value of the domain that will ultimately define their brand, and then their willingness to do what they have to do to go get it. And, you know, hopefully fill in that piece of the puzzle that ultimately lead them to success. So,
yeah. And I would say the flip to that is like, because a lot of domain investors listen to this, it's like, you have to know the value of your domain name, right? I mean, if you overvalue that, if you're looking for the home run, I get it. I mean, I understand it. I understand the philosophy behind it, and it happens. But many domain names, you know, you're not going to get that home run in your lifetime, right?
Yeah.
And so how long do you want to wait? What's the risk to that waiting? Like if, you know, I usually do this like every 2 weeks, is like, would you know the top offer if it came to you?
Yeah.
Would you? And we asked the question, hey, how many offers you got on this? Well, I haven't gotten any, except I haven't had it for sale. It's like, no. If somebody wanted that, they would find you, they would make an offer, they would hire us, they would hire someone else, they would, you know, they would look at the email on the website, and they would just say, hey, do you want to sell this?
Yeah.
So you have to value it correctly based on the buyer type it attracts.
Yeah. No, I think that, and that's all. Again, man, I think it's cool the way that you've been able to articulate a lot of that stuff in a way that makes sense, you know. And again, that's all in the book. Well, I mean, we're not here promoting your book because you
promote it, man. Listen, well, no, I just don't, mean, like, don't no, read it, okay?
Because I'm happy I know I'm sort of torn, dude. I mean, look, I want you to get your message out, like, yeah. Because I think it's important, and I think you put so much time and effort into, again, putting this out there in a way that's articulated so people can digest it and understand it. But at the same time, competitively, it's almost like, don't read it, you know? Are you looking for a hard copy? If I was in my house, I'd have one. But if I wasn't here living the cabin life. But no, man, I think it's all good. I think that, you know, it's such a great thing that it's out there in the universe. And, you know, it's, you know, but like I said, competitively, if people don't want to read it, you know what? That's also good too.
Well, listen, I mean, yeah, in one sense, I was like, man, if I really wanted, like, this is all my frames, is what I've developed over 8 years, but in a sense, like, this is
I mean, in truth is, it's not even as simple as just, hey, I'm gonna read it now, I've got it, now I can apply it, right? I mean, that's like, this didn't happen overnight based on the fact that you just, you know, took an online course, and now it's like, this is literally a decade in the making. So yeah, man, no, I think that's interesting, you know, the stuff. You know, also talking about when we talk about trends, and you talk about domain investors and, you know, just domain owners in general, recognizing when the best value, you know, the best offer for their name, which again, we're talking about are based on, you know, these things, these macro trends, the micro trends, the companies that are actually out there using that as their brand that could potentially be your targets, what kind of buyer type, who you attracting as a potential buyer of your domain, you know. But I think overall too, it's important, you know, like being patient and waiting for the right offers is also, you know, not the worst thing as long as you're being reasonable. Because I do think that based on a lot of what we're seeing, for me, trends for domains are very positive, you know. You know, continue to be more and more people online, continue to be more and more businesses online. You know, I think AI is creating more that can be done via the internet. I don't think it's going to usurp domain value when you see, like, what, I have some bugs flying around in here.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah,
like, they're coming through the screen, like, coming to my home.
But, you know, looking at value domains in general, I think, you know, because Drew, we talk about, you know, are domains at risk, domain values, like, and I actually think domains continue to trend upward. We see it in the deals we're doing. And, you know, and also looking at it, you know, alternatively, what are some of the other potential, you know, uses of the funds and things that you would otherwise invest in? You know, crypto continues to do this sort of sideways crawl. I mean, we're mega bullish on Bitcoin, you know, not as bullish on all the other stuff. I think the meme coins and all these things are just kind of like, you know, that's just a hot potato, you know, pyramid scheme, rug pull festival of like, just try to, you just want to don't be the last one out. You know, you want to get in early, get out, you know, get out early. You don't want to get out late and then be the one holding the bag. And then also too, you compare it to things like physical real estate, right? Like, you know, you've got domains mm-hmm. or digital real estate. We say that all the time. Physical real estate, I think, is going through its own sort of come to Jesus moment in a lot of different ways. And I'm not, you know, by admission, not a full on, like, I mean, I have some real estate, right? But, you know, that's not my exact wheelhouse, but a lot of the articles I'm reading, you know, don't get me super bullish on real estate in general. You've got to be really, really careful. I mean, we saw, you know, a lot of interesting, good, positive trends happening where I live in Florida and stuff like that. And it's almost like you got to be lucky to be investing in the right places. But even in Florida, what we're seeing, this was an article you and I talked about, and we'll kind of close with this and then we'll call it. But, you know, these insurance premiums going up, you've got people that own condos and whatnot, and they're absolutely getting killed in this upkeep slash, you know, increase in premiums, where the one article you and I talked about was about how an entire condo basically resigned because they were trying to push a $100,000 increase on the homeowners, and which most of these folks can't afford. They're losing their, in this case, these aren't even investment properties. These are their actual homes. So it becomes a matter of, like, you know, when you're looking at where else you're going to potentially invest, you know, that seems like a lot. There's a lot of risk there. It seems like a nightmare. But your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I was like, and I think it's the first week, right, of that law taking effect where everyone's getting these massive bills. And just overnight, it's like, you know, these crazy bills. I think I saw one video, it was like $250,000 to like update the elevators, and $100,000 for landscaping. You know, he's like this crazy amounts, right? $1 million for landscaping, right? In this condo. But yeah, overnight it just changed. And I think that's, you know, part of the key is like some of these assets overnight, they can change. You know, domain names or assets. I think, to your point, they'll continue to go up in value because they're brands. In essence, it's a brand, right? Your domain is your brand equity. And you got to create a simple path for your customers so they can find you, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, things change all the time. We try to buy sites for buyers, and you know, you're on top one day, and the next day it's like Google hits you and penalized you, and now the buyers that we made offers for don't even want it, right? They just like, yeah, you know, same thing with these condos, right? It's like they were on fire, and then now you have an extra $100,000 attached to us. So you got to take a massive loss. Timing's everything. Timing is super important.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, trying to find durability, you know, in this, you know, and find the right balance between, you know, high risk, somewhat low risk. You know, definitely like the way we're seeing trends with domains. You know, you do have some, you know, and then now talking, so we gave a shout out to Elliot. If you talk about, you know, one of the other great, you know, writers, you know, blogs in the space is Andrew Alleman with Domain Name Wire, talking about some of the stuff that's happening around .coms and trying to, you know, maintain, you know, the registry, trying to maintain control. You know, there's sort of price controls and there are increases that are taking place. So, you know, register a .com domain now is, you know, and renew a .com is more expensive than it was. But, you know, when you're talking about something going up from $15 to $18, you know, for the year, it's a whole lot different than, you know, your HOA dues going up, you know, $10,000 and things like that. So, you know, and stuff in the domain space moves at a much more of a slow glacier. I mean, if you've ever been to an ICANN meeting, that shit is exhausting. And it's like, you know, the Model UN But there are obviously a lot of smart people that are involved in that, and things move much more slowly on that. And then really, so I think the risk, as we've talked about for domains, is more about, some sort of a naming system thing change that would impact, the way that the internet works, right? But that's also something that, we keep a close eye on with AI and all these other things. And that's why it ties back to exactly what we talked about at the open of the show, which is, are we seeing the transformative impacts of AI yet, right? And I think the answer is sort of, in some places maybe, but I think it's going to be slower than people think. And I also subscribe to Drew's thought that, the winners in AI are going to be big, huge conglomerate type companies like the Googles of AI, the Groks and the ChatGPTs, and individual companies, are going to have impact, or smaller companies are going to have impact, but they're going to get swallowed up because there's just so much money at stake, and because of that, I do think that to me limits a little bit of what you'll see with .ai domains versus .com and all that kind of stuff. But, at the end of the day, we're still seeing, obviously, like I said, we're mega bullish on Bitcoin. We're mega bullish on .com domain names. We'll continue to remain so for now. Because for right now, the trend is our friend.
Boom.
Boom. There we go. All right. Cool, man. Well, listen, dude, thank you so much for tuning in. But thank you so much for jumping in and doing this with me today. I think this was great. And we're just about on time. So you got anything else that you want to close with before we go ahead and say peace out to everybody?
No.
All right. Yeah. Hey, look, like we said, go ahead.
No, we hit it hard. That was like a lot of info.
Oh, dude, these are master's classes, when you talk about, domain sort of valuation and some of the concepts and stuff. Because we eat, sleep, breathe this stuff. Hopefully people will get some value to that, to the audience. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in. We appreciate it. I say it on every show. Without you, there is no us. We covered a lot of topics today. So for those of you who might be a little bit more well-versed in some of the things, physical real estate, some of the other stuff, or been tinkering with the AI or domain evaluation tools that are coming out there, hit us up on social, hit us up on the, in the comment section on the site. Let us know what you think. Let us know if we're wrong on anything. Like I say, we're always welcoming any feedback, good, bad, ugly. We appreciate it. Otherwise, we just want to thank you all for tuning in. And on behalf of Chris and myself, we'll see you all next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody.